Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The 2024 election nationally was a good one for Republicans, who returned Donald Trump to the White House and gained control of the U.S. Senate. But in Delaware, it was more of the same, with Democrats dominating statewide races and drawing another seat closer to a House supermajority. To dive into these storylines and more, we sat down this week with University of Delaware Communications Professor Paul Brewer, Delaware Politics Director at UD's Center for Political Communication, to get his analysis of the post-election state of play in the first state. Well, we'll start just kind of with your general impression at the national level of what we saw. And I think what most people considered a surprise, maybe not a surprise that Trump was able to win, but it seemed like a fairly decisive win with him sweeping the major swing states that a lot of people felt, particularly the blue wall states that Harris could take.
Yes. And so in a sense, it's surprising that he did a clean sweep of those seven toss-up states that we've been talking about for the past few months. In another sense, it's not terribly surprising. One, if you look at his performance relative to polls, he's kind of outperformed the polls three times in a row now, which makes me, not by a lot, but by a little, which makes me wonder if survey researchers need to continue to look at what they're doing there, look at their models.
I went up there for just a second because I'm curious, because we hear a lot about how those polling research folks were adjusting. They were constantly adjusting for Trump, and they still apparently didn't quite get it right. Is that maybe even more troubling, that not that they kept missing it, but they kept missing it even though they were trying not to miss it?
Yes, and we're talking about it looks like will be a fairly small polling error. So if Trump ends up winning by national popular vote by 2%, and I think that figure could change between now because they're still counting votes. Right. So it's going to be a fairly narrow popular vote win. So in a sense, if you look at it from a polling error, it's not a big polling error.
It's within the margin.
Yeah, it's within the margin. But still, you know, it's a more dramatic outcome than maybe some people were expecting. I see a lot of speculation, oh, we might not know for days, and we actually did know within a day. But back to that broader context, at first glance, it looks like there's this dramatic swing from 2016 to 2020 to 2024. And in terms of the outcome, it has been. But in terms of the kind of the percentage that's actually moving back and forth, it's pretty small. So flip a few percentage points one way or another, and it turns like a 300, low 300 electoral victory margin into a in the low 200s range loss. We're in a pretty polarized state where the band of outcomes over the past few cycles has actually been pretty narrow.
I was gonna say, and pretty static. It's just the impact is where it feels really dramatic. It's an interesting point. Let's talk a little bit more about it from the local level in the context of Delaware, this presidential race. Vice President Kamala Harris did win Delaware as expected, but her support here lagged a little bit behind what the UD Center for Political Communication poll of Delaware found in October. That poll had Harris with a 59-32% edge. She wound up winning the state 57-42. Does that show that even in a deeply blue Delaware, Trump support might again have been underestimated a little bit?
Yeah, I think if you look at the figures that I've seen so far, it's been a pretty national shift towards Trump compared to the 2020 outcome. So I think you see that in the national results, not a huge swing, but a big enough swing to flip all of those key toss-up states. In Delaware, not enough to change the outcome, but still noticeable.
So it also seemed like GOP candidates for governor and lieutenant governor slightly outperformed candidates in other statewide races. Both Mike Ramone in the governor's race, Ruth Briggs King in the lieutenant governor's race hit 44% and 45% mark, respectively. That's the best GOP showing in either of those races since Bill Lee hit 46% in his 51-46 loss to the late Ruth Ann Minner in 2004. I'm curious if you think that speaks to the strength of running a pair of better-known current and former state lawmakers with maybe higher credibility and track records, or could the GOP's messages of the dangers of one-party rule be gaining a little bit of traction, at least within some pockets of Delaware?
Yeah, I think there's probably multiple factors at play here. One is simply those national tides sweeping through Delaware as well. You know, if you look at polling, a pretty big percentage of the population thinks that the country is on the wrong track. So you're going to see that at all levels in terms of which party people side for. But I do think, compared to some past campaigns that I won't mention, that Ramon ran a more centrist, moderate, kind of professional campaign than we've seen in some statewide races. So I noticed that in the debate here at the University of Delaware, he was at pains to pitch himself as a yellow candidate instead of a red or a blue candidate. He name-checked not only Mike Castle, who's kind of the patron saint of moderate Delaware Republicans and one of the last statewide figures to have a lot of electoral success, but he also name-checked Chris Coons and John Carney and Tom Carper as people in a favorable light. And Ramon was a long-time state representative, and so just a credible candidate. So it's not terribly surprising to me, given the national political environment and his relative strengths as a candidate compared to some other past statewide Republican nominees, that he had, not a strong enough showing to pull off an upset, but a stronger showing than some past candidates.
And I guess there is kind of an intersection between that kind of general dissatisfaction with maybe the state of the economy right now and pitching people, hey, one party rule, that we've got here because one party rule. Maybe that does work a little bit better in this particular environment maybe than it did in past elections.
Yes, and you have to wonder if Ramon had had more resources, if he'd had a higher media profile, which is tough in Delaware. Nothing
Right.
against Delaware public media, but if you wanted to run kind of a traditional television-based campaign, there are a lot of challenges in that, both in terms of the amount of money you'd need, and then in terms of the what do you do with the Philadelphia and Baltimore media
Sure.
markets. Kind of a challenge for Ramon there, but again, a respectable performance compared to past Republican outcomes.
And certainly, perhaps all these factors we're talking about helps the Republicans keep the Democrats from flipping the two seats they needed to get a supermajority in the State House of Representatives. Again, there was a lot of thought if there was a blue wave, if there was, a kind of trickle down from the presidential race on the Democratic side, that would lead to that House supermajority for Democrats. Instead, perhaps what we saw nationally kind of forestalled any Democratic gains. They flipped one seat, but not the two.
Yes, at the state level, in terms of the legislative races, very static picture. There's only w no changes in the Senate, correct?
No,
And
no
then
changes in
only
the.
that one, which ironically was Ramon's seat, right?
Right, exactly. So yeah, the one seat they lost was the one that he left to run for governor. So yeah, it seems like for the time being at least, we're in a holding pattern with the state legislature. I am curious. One thing I found interesting in looking at the numbers statewide was that the top statewide vote getter was the winner in the insurance commissioner's race, incumbent Democrat Trinidad Navarro. He won with nearly 59% of the vote. Just over 289,000 people voted for him, only about 200 votes less than Kamala Harris got statewide in Delaware. Is I guess how do you explain that race is that just a he's a reflection of what a straight ticket voter does? They don't know who to vote for in that race, so the majority of Delawareans going to vote for Democrats, so they just click generic D as opposed to generic GOP.
It's funny you mentioned that because I noticed how well Navarro did. I think partly that's it, because I think that position is not a very high-profile position. But I think that interacts with the other key factor here, which is Navarro's an incumbent.
There is some name recognition, like, hey, I voted for this guy before, and
I voted for this guy last time around. I know nothing about his opponent, so I'm going to check that
I'm just
box.
gonna roll that way. I found that just an interesting anomaly in voting that of all the people you would not think that the insurance commissioner would be the one who kind of performed as well as the presidential candidate in the state.
And with that name recognition, maybe he's got a chance to move on up in the
Well,
future.
and that's the thing. I mean, this is his third term. When we talked to him, we asked him about running again. He kind of left the door open to what he might do. So perhaps something to watch for in the coming years. Also curious what you make of Kent County, because heading into Tuesday, it was one of only 25 counties nationwide that went Obama, Trump, Biden. Now, it did not swing back to Trump, but it came awfully close, picking Harris by just about 1,800 votes. The margins there are very similar in other races. County, even went for one Republican. Ruth Briggs King won that county in the lieutenant governor's race. So I guess the question is Kent still kind of a bellwether county, or is this maybe an indication that since it didn't flip back to Trump, that it is slowly kind of becoming more blue in this state and the kind of Democratic influence is starting to creep into Kent County?
Yeah, well, I think one way to look at it is even though the Republicans didn't win statewide, things did swing their way, but I think it also illustrates the challenge, even in a favorable national political environment, it's really tough for them to win. And, you know, in their strongholds, they don't have a lot of strongholds in Delaware, and it's tough to pile up big enough margins in those places to pull off a statewide victory unless something changes.
I want to quickly ask you a little bit about turnout in Delaware. 65%, that matched 2012 and 2016, but lagging behind the 68% in 2020. I suppose you could explain that through the fact that there was no mail-in voting this time around like there was during the pandemic in 2020, but could it also be an indication maybe of a little less enthusiasm this year? We've heard a lot about people just not being satisfied with the choices they had.
Yeah, I think both at the national level and the state level, that Democrats especially seemed hugely motivated in 2020, you know, as I think largely as a reaction against Donald Trump. This time around, maybe there's some of that motivation has waned, maybe some enthusiasm for their own party. You know, I think if Biden had been the nominee, that it might have been even rougher for the Democrats, because I think Harris managed to capture at least some enthusiasm. I've seen some polling results to suggest that if Biden had been the nominee, that the national outcome would not have been as close as it was.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic and an interesting what if. But I think you're right. I do think there is a sense that people were definitely dissatisfied when you told them the choice was Trump-Biden, maybe a little less dissatisfied, but still dissatisfied Trump-Harris. So, again, something that I think Democrats have to think about as they move forward, both in the state and nationwide. And I guess we'll wrap up just by asking, is there anything else that stood out to you in Delaware or nationally in the results that we saw and where things are heading?
Well, at the national level, where does this leave the Democrats? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's really going to be kind of a turning of the page. You know, no more Obamas or Obama's vice president or even Biden's vice president. Whoever leads the party in 2028 is probably someone who has not been on the national stage yet. There's names we could talk about there, but I think it's a couple of days after, so a little early for that. at the level of Delaware, you have to ask the same question: what are Republicans going to try to do? Because they put up some solid-looking candidates who did respectably, and it still wasn't enough. They didn't gain any seats in the Senate. They lost a seat in the House. So what's the formula for being competitive statewide in Delaware for the Republican Party?
Particularly when you look at a congressional delegation now that is somewhat new and younger, and you know, with a Sarah McBride in the House, Lisa Blunt Rochester moving up to the Senate, Chris Coons, who I guess, relatively speaking, in the Senate, having only been there since 2010, is relatively young. These are Democrats who are likely going to be there for a little while in those offices and continue running for those offices as incumbents.
Yeah, and maybe more progressive competition as well. So, you know, I think Sarah McBride, not going to be a squad member, but maybe that's a trade towards a somewhat more progressive direction with her going into the congressional delegation and then Carper coming out, mm-hmm. and then trading Carney for Meyer. And I don't think Meyer campaigned under progressive banner, but he also doesn't seem allergic to the label progressive. And then they're going to be choosing a new speaker in the House as well. And so some of the power dynamics in terms of the more centrist wing of the Democratic Party and the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party, we could see maybe some changes there.
Thanks to University of Delaware Communications Professor Paul Brewer, Delaware Politics Director at UD's Center for Political Communication, for joining us on The Green this week. Next up, we delve a bit deeper into the fallout from Tuesday's election here in Delaware with Delaware Public Media political reporter Sarah Petrowich. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.